You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. Every new episode, we have a special guest, and today is no different. Today, we have actor. That's all I'm going to say. Today we have actor Trevor Einhorn. And if you are a fan of Frasier and this podcast, I think you know who Trevor is. Trevor, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you? Number one Frasier fan podcast host, Anita.
I'm doing well. I'd call this a very special episode. If you don't know some of the history behind this podcast, you are my first cast member on. Previously, I did have Joe Keenan on, who was an executive writer and producer on Frasier, and he was wonderful and amazing. But you are the first, and I hope not the last. So,
this is just going to spiral in. You're going to get the dog. You're gonna get them all coming in right now.
This right, exactly. Perfect. It starts with you all the way at the top. Which is very exciting. So I was talking about this before we started the episode, but I do feel I need to mention that Trevor is here thanks to a Miss Rachel Bloom. I'm curious, how do you you had mentioned before we started recording that you have mutual friends. You didn't, but perchance go to NYU together, did you, or is it more like in Hollywood? LA?
No, my sister, my older sister went to NYU, and that's sort of. How I know Rachel too, like through her friend group. My sister was part of this comedy troupe called Harvard Sailing Team.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and so that whole sort of like New York gang was close with Rachel's group. And then when everyone came back to LA or moved to LA, it sort of became this big, fun, Jewish, not Jewish comedians from New York and LA. And just sort of a really fun, loving group, and Rachel was a part of it, and we just sort of would continue to run into each other at all like the holiday parties and, you know, friend get-togethers. But yeah, she's awesome. She totally reached out to me and told me about your podcast, and it sounded so much fun, and I think she had such a great time doing it. So yeah, that's how I'm here.
That's awesome, and I love what you said before that she you didn't know she was a Frasier
No, I think she was. Of like a closeted Frasier fan a little bit, maybe just around me. I think she would ask me like a couple random questions, not so much all the time. Like I think there was a few times where she was like, I fell asleep watching you last night. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And I think she was referencing, you know, binge watching a couple episodes or something like that. But yeah, it was very sweet. And she is an incredible Frasier fan. She knows her stuff.
she knows her stuff. I think, you know, I do arrogantly call myself number one Frasier fan, but I have had a number of people on this podcast that I think could match my my level of knowledge.
Is there like a game to test this yet? Have you created like a questionnaire to like find the number one fan to, so you can hold the title proudly? Or has that already happened and I don't know about it?
If it has happened, I do not know about it. I do know that there are, I mean, like, there's I just found out that there's a Monopoly game based around the Golden Girls. So what I'm waiting for is something like that, but for Frasier, some sort of already existing board game that is dedicated to the show. Haven't seen it yet, but perhaps that's coming next from me. But
pretty good. I think this episode will get that started right away.
Oh, wonderful.
We'll hit up Mattel or whoever right now.
So I was looking up, obviously, your credits, and I am guilty of not watching Mad Men. I am the only person on earth who has not, but I know that you were on Mad Men. You played copywriter John Mathis, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I thought perhaps before we get into Frasier stuff, I'd love to hear what you've been up to. So I'm curious, on a show like Mad Men, which is, it was a cable show in the 2000s, how was that different as compared to working on a network show in the 90s?
It was very different, but also pretty similar for my personal experience. So I came on to Mad Men in the sixth season. And the thing about Mad Men at the time that I came on, I was on it from six to the end. And they were just a well-oiled machine. And it was just a group of amazing professionals with critical acclaim. And I just instantly felt lucky to be a part of it. And I also was welcomed so lovely. And I was one of the youngest there by far. So right away, I kind of felt, it felt very similar to like this Frasier experience when I came on. It was already such a critically acclaimed show. It was an amazing group of professionals. And I think without saying too much, I was the youngest by far.
Sure. How old were you at the time when you were on?
When I started Mad Men or when I started Frasier?
When you started Mad Men.
When I started Mad Men, I think I was 20. I think I started when I was like 20 or 21 or something like that.
That's pretty young.
And what was like really great about Mad Men is that like it was all in the writing. Very similar to Frasier, that like I think like any great show, you could bring it back to like what the scripts have in it and then sort of find that sort of balance, what the actors bring to it. But the writing on Mad Men is what made it so special. Sure. So it wasn't like we were doing too much work. It was just if you delivered the words the way they were supposed to be said, the writing would do it for you. And it was an amazing group of people. And the details on that show are something I still, you know, are in awe of. And I got really lucky because the character sort of went from this copywriter and to developing this fun relationship. And they kept me around. And I got to, you know, have most of my scenes with Elizabeth Moss, who was lovely. And she also is kind of a little Frasier fan, too, when everyone found out that I played Frasier's son, it sort of quickly circled old photos of me being Frederick. And she also was a child actor. So we wound up bonding over that quite a bit. And it was really sweet. I have nothing but good experiences with Mad Men. It was truly one of the best jobs I've had. And it came at a great time in my career to sort of inspire me to keep going again. And I just had the best time, and it was like a mini family. So anytime we run into anybody outside of, you know, the set, it was just like we had that shared experience, and it's still holding on now. So felt really lucky.
That's lovely. Yeah. I did want to ask you what it was like working with Elizabeth Moss, because I do think that she is one of the greatest TV actresses working right now.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She was so great. And, Yeah, we talked a lot about sort of in the beginning, like sort of being child actors and sort of going through it. She started at a very young age as well. And I was just like, she's so incredible. Like the trajectory of where she went and where she is at now is just, it's like really inspiring, you know, and she completely deserves all the accolades that she has because she puts in the work and she's really great.
All right, maybe I'll watch it. You may, yeah. Perhaps you've
It shouldn't just me. Be my, yeah, I don't need to convince you, but I think at some point after you rewatch all the Frasier episodes again, maybe just throw on, you know, a Mad Men stream, you know, whenever, no pressure, it's gonna stick around.
So other than Elizabeth Moss, did anyone else on set, was any, and you know, this is obviously for future scouting for people to be on the pod.
Yeah.
Who else was like a Frasier head on set who was like, yeah. Hey, listen, man, I love Frasier.
Yeah, I don't know. No one else comes out right away. I think what was funny about Mad Men, they did a lot of stuff on the internet about this. There's a lot of 90s throwback actors and 90s like character actors that were on the show just by happenstance. There's a bunch of lists of like all these people that like from shows that you grew up watching are now playing characters in the 1960s. So I know there was like a bunch of sort of like tie-in 90s life. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but it definitely, it just was around. So sure. I don't think I went into too much depth with any like intense Frasier fans other than I always get that no matter what set I'm on, I always get that. I can't ever remember who, but someone who was like, hey, I fell asleep watching you last night. And it's awkward at first, but Frasier just happens to be one of those shows that like, whether it was on the Hallmark Channel every night or you're watching it on Netflix, it's just, it's timeless. So it's around. So people are just watching it.
It truly is a timeless show in that, you know, it feels quite surreal to be talking about this with you, but I've spoken to many, every single guest on this podcast about, you know, what is the trajectory as a fan that you go through with a show like Frasier? Because, you know, I personally know that I wouldn't have a podcast about the show if it didn't switch on to streaming, because I did grow up watching it for sure. I won't pretend sure. I started watching it because I appreciated good writing when I was, you know, 7 years old, but I definitely appreciated something that I apparently picked up on in terms of enjoying physical acting and good acting when I was younger and not fully understanding why. But then after that, you know, obviously a show that's that long goes into syndication and then totally. It hits streaming. And I don't know if you've been following, but not surprisingly, there are some people that are upset that Frasier is leaving Netflix on December 31st. I mean, I knew it was coming. I mean, I assume at some point it's going to end up on Peacock, is my guess.
Yeah, something. There's something there. I don't know exactly where it's going to end up, but I don't think it's going to be too long before we see it pop up somewhere. You know, streaming is that same sort of relationship, like you said, like when show goes into syndication, it's like, there's a bunch of fans of The Office or other shows like that that like started from watching TBS or something. So I think streaming just really lent itself to like, oh yeah, this is a show that a lot of people talked about that I didn't get the time to watch. And my wife included, my wife is now watching Frasier like every night to fall asleep. And we,
oh,
you know,
wow.
She never watched it. We never really talked about it that much. She just knew I was on it. And now she's like she's a big fan, like dedicated more than myself.
So funny. So when you first got together, you're saying that she had not really watched the show.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. Okay. That wasn't the reason why she said, I'll go on a second date with you. It wasn't because you're Frederick Crane.
Well, I mean, I'm curious, and I'm very curious now. In the past.
That was the third date.
That was the third date. You had to.
Yeah, by the end of the second date, she was like, you got to give me something. And I said, well, I don't know if you know this.
Now,
No, she didn't watch the show.
In your past, before your lovely wife came along, was this ever a topic or even a weird moment that ever came up on dates? In that, like, you know, were there ever dates where it did come up and you were like, okay, cool, like, you know, and somebody said, oh, I love Frasier, and here you are.
The dating, never really on date. I mean, like when I was a kid and it was on, you know, friends and people that I were going to school, like my teachers, it was a big deal with, I would never date. I wasn't dating my teachers, but it was, you know, it was a popular topic because the show was so popular. But, I think by the time that I was like seriously dating, that there was enough time removed from the show, that I can't really recall a time that it ever made or broke a date, you know, that I don't think I ever was dating like a super fan and they were just telling me that they were or if I did, they kept it very cool.
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm slightly disappointed. I mean, I always
you assume, wanted a good one. You wanted a good story.
Well, let me ask you this. Has anyone in your life, I mean, you know, obviously you're an adult now, but even between when you were on Frasier and now, has there ever been a moment in which, you know, someone on the street or someone shouted something out at you out of a car? Obviously, I've concocted these scenarios in my head, but yeah, any interesting fan interactions?
I will say, because of streaming and because of, like you said, syndication, I am always impressed with how many people still recognize me from when I was a kid. So it does happen. I don't want to say a lot, but it happens often that, you know, the show is really popular still. And it, like you said, it streams a lot. So if someone happened to watch the episode the night before and I'm in a grocery store, that, you know, that's where it really happens, you know, like those little interactions like that. And it still happens. I'm always shocked by that. I think people have a really good eye out there. I love playing that game too. If I see someone on like any sort of random movie in my life and I'm like, oh, they were in that one scene, I always get a kick out of it if I recognize them, you know, outside. I think that's just a fun game anyways.
As a rule, would you say supermarket is off limits though?
Talk to people?
Sure, yes.
Oh, no way. I think supermarket, you go for it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Why not? Why would a supermarket be off limits? I like a supermarket interaction. We're just there looking at produce anyways. We're waiting for someone to talk to us. And maybe a second opinion if this avocado is ripe enough to bring home.
So supermarket's okay. Okay. Actually, I've never even asked anyone if a supermarket is okay.
I guess I'm not trying to invite a bunch of people to talk to me at a supermarket, but I'm saying I find it acceptable.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's keep that in mind with you in particular, because I've never thought about, you know, running into people from television at the supermarket. What I have seen is people from television and music at the airport. And in my mind, I've decided you shouldn't talk to people at the airport, because I've never seen anyone look happy at the airport.
Yeah, I think airport's off limit.
All right.
I think the supermarket is fine. You're at home. You're in your comfort zone. You know, you're going to hopefully your local market that you love. Sure. And, you know, there's a more positive experience. Airport, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't even want to talk to anyone I'm traveling with. Get me home.
You know, I'll tell you this. I'm sure my listeners are absolutely ecstatic that I have yet to start drilling you with Frasier questions yet.
Yes.
But I feel I must tell you that the weirdest celebrity run-in I had at an airport was I went on a little Euro trip like 5 years ago with a friend. We didn't check. We got the cheapest tickets available and went and bought a ticket from Amsterdam back to New York, but didn't check where we had a layover. The layover was in Moscow. So we woke up in Russia and we had a 2.5 hour layover. It was a very odd and depressing experience / vibe at the airport. And who did I see getting onto our flight was Method Man. That I know from the film How High, also a musician. Yeah. But I was very excited. And then so he was in first class, naturally. I was heading to the class that is after first class, and I was about to say hello to him, but he was next to somebody who was either like an assistant, a friend, or a bodyguard who made eye contact with me and shook his head at me. And so then I kept walking, and I did not have an interaction, but it is still my
My one most regret?
Interesting. No, no, I'm glad I didn't say anything because obviously it wouldn't have ended well.
What would you have said if you had the opportunity? I'm such a fan of How High or Method Man, what are you doing in Moscow?
I think I would have said I'm a huge fan because sometimes I don't know what people want to be known for. So
yeah.
I just try and go really vague with I'm a huge fan. So that's
I hope that Method Man watches Frasier, and I hope that this episode
me too.
can get you guys connected on some level. I hope that, that we can outreach to Method Man for some, maybe he can record a song for the podcast.
I'm sure he's listening, obviously. I did look up online and he had been there for a music festival. So okay. I was right. My friend did not believe me. She said, there is no way he's in Moscow. I said, yes, he is. Anyway.
Oh, she was denying that you saw Method Man.
Yeah, she didn't notice because she was, we were miserable, both mostly trying to nap at the airport. But I happened to see him walk by me and I said, I swear to God, Method Man, just walk by me. And she was like, I don't believe you. And on that note, I think I must ask you.
This is a good segue.
Speaking of Method Man, let's dig into Frasier. So tell me, how were you cast in the show? Because the first appearance of Frederick Crane, it was a different child actor.
Yes.
So how did you become a Frederick Crane?
Scandalous. No. I think there was one other previous Frederick, and then I don't know what the reason was that they changed it. I still remember the audition. I remember it was a very small kind of call of just like kid actors, and I obviously didn't know. I think I was like 6 or 7 when I first started, something like that. Yeah, probably like 7. So I didn't know the show yet. I knew it was a big deal, and I knew it was like a popular show because my parents were telling me that. Mm. And Jeff Greenberg was the casting director, and they had the audition at Paramount Studios where they film. So it's always exciting to kind of go to a lot for an audition, studio lot. It's just a little extra fun room to go into.
Sure.
And it was just this, funny enough, I think it was the Thanksgiving episode. Oh, and it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. So that's
listeners, we are filming the day before Thanksgiving. Relevant. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
go
this
ahead.
Is relevant. This yes. is on topic. and yeah, it wasn't any different. I remember it was, they were trying to find something specific, and I don't know what that was, but they were giving me jokes that I didn't quite understand, but I was just sort of doing them as I would, like very naturally. And then it just sort of worked out. We found out that day that we got it, because I think they were starting the episode the next day. I think they were like scrambling to sort of find Frederick. And we started instantly. Yeah, we found out that day, and it was a pretty cool process and just went right into it. And it was a ton of fun. That was sort of it. I don't have any other like big story of how I got it. I remember the audition feeling very comfortable. And I remember at the end, they asked me to stay. And that's always a good thing. It's
nice.
One of the few times where you need to stay and you're not in trouble.
Had you, before this show, worked on anything else? Or
yeah,
done anything else?
I was, the first thing I did, I my sister and I actually were cast as brother and sister in a movie called Disclosure. We played Michael Douglas's kids in that movie. I started that when I was 5, and then I think I was doing like commercials after that, and then this sort of was like definitely like the first big thing I had, and it was great.
One thing, or at least that was theorized by at least fans in the comments, was that perhaps you were cast because there is some resemblance. And I could agree with that. I was like, oh, yeah, I could see it for sure.
I think you definitely have to sort of, anytime you're casting a son or a daughter in anything, I think you sort of have to start at that level of like, could this theoretically be, do they look enough alike the parents? I think the kid who was cast first looked a little more like Lilith's side, and I think my version was taking a little bit more after the Frasier side.
Sure.
In terms of visual looks.
Is there a favorite, and this isn't to say who you liked the best, or maybe it also depends on how much screen time you got with whoever, but did you have a favorite actor in Frasier to do scenes with?
I do mean this. I'm not trying to be political. They were all incredible. And it's the way that sort of like the sitcom style, you know, worked with the multicam, you were always there as a group anyways. Mm-hmm. So whether you had a scene with someone in particular, you always kind of started the day as a group and you ended the day as a group for like a run through of the whole show. So everyone was so welcoming, not just to me as like a kid, but like welcoming to my family, anyone that was ever there in the work experience. And the fun part about being sort of like a guest actor on a show like that is usually like it's a bigger episode for my character. So that means that I get to interact with everybody a lot. I think on most of the episodes, I always sort of had my moment with all of the main characters.
Right.
And you know, I think the interactions that I remember, you know, enjoying the most, you know, just sort of that dynamic between Daphne and Frederick and Niles. But truly, everybody was so great. You know, it really felt like I had this like sort of set family, this like, you know, TV family. And like, I grew up, you know, there, you know, seeing them once a year, kind of like in these moments of my life, they were always there, and they were always there to sort of like watch me grow up too. So it was, everyone was amazing, truly amazing.
I'm curious, you know, it's obviously very sad, but you know, John Mahoney passed away. What was it like working with him?
He was so warm and always extremely nice, took the time to talk to me, like always. And, you know, we would sit down and just sort of chat about life. And yeah, it was weird. Like when he passed, I made a post on Instagram, which like, you know, it felt, I don't know what I wanted to do about it, but it was such a, he was such a memorable guy, and he was always so nice to work with. And he was always so giving as a scene partner and as an actor. And he just was really great to me and my family. And he always supported me, not just as like, you know, a kid actor on a show, but it really felt like a family member. He wanted raised to the occasion, anything that he could do to help me. Cause there was a lot of interaction between Grandpa and Frederick. That was always a big dynamic. And I think he was just such a great safety net for me to have as a kid, and also just as another scene partner. So it was really sad. And when rewatching the show now, his comedy, for me, it was like as I got older, was the one I appreciate the most. I think I would as a kid being on the show, you understand a lot of the jokes and you get like the big punchlines and stuff like that. But rewatching the show now, I think Martin has somehow become one of my favorite characters. His delivery and just like the dry sense of humor that he has in this sort of understated way in the show, it's somehow become my favorite.
He has my favorite like monologues. Like he's done some great monologues on the show. And separately from that, I thought it took range. There's an episode like later on, I think season 10 or 11, where he accidentally eats a pot brownie. And I was so deeply impressed by his performance as a person who had accidentally taken a pot brownie. I thought, this is believable. This takes research to know what is a person going to act like when they accidentally eat a pot brownie.
And he has that great line, like the way he said pudding pants.
Yeah.
You know, he just wrote down on a post-it. No, I mean, it was just really funny. It's just genuinely, he has so much range, like you said, as an actor. He can deliver the heartfelt sort of like monologues and also that great sort of like fatherly bond. And then doing something as ridiculous as a grandpa accidentally eating a pot brownie is just, you can rely on him for anything. And it was truly sad when he passed. Very sad.
I mean, I I'm waiting to talk about the reboot, but I can tell you I've had all kinds of ideas, including prequel ideas that star Martin Crane as a young hotshot detective. I've had Frasier in Space ideas. I've had all kinds of ideas. Well, we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure they're all going to make it to the screen. So obviously, you know, you were not a regular cast member, but I would say every episode that you were on was memorable. Do you have either a favorite episode that you were a part of, or even like just a favorite scene?
You know, that is where I got really lucky is, like you said, I wasn't there all the time, but the episodes that they brought his son in for always felt a little bit bigger you know, sort of a memorable storyline. I think for me personally, I think the bar mitzvah episode where Frasier all of a sudden starts speaking in Klingon instead of Hebrew. It just sort of is really, it's funny. I went to a Jewish day school, and I think they even use some of the Siddurs, which is like, you know, the Jewish prayer books from my actual temple for like the bar mitzvah scene.
Wow.
There's a lot of like tension there. It was right around the time that I had my real bar mitzvah. So
something
funny and a close connection to that one that I'll never forget. And it was just a really funny episode. And I particularly loved that sort of like Jewish humor. And it was just funny. It was easy to like really, all the episodes were easy for me to relate to in a funny way. But that one is, that one always sticks out. That and the Spelling Bee, I think, always sticks out to me.
Oh, the Spelling Bee is great too. So do you ever like, because, you know, I think you and I are around the same age. Would you say that sometimes you think about your bar mitzvah and you kind of like get the memories jumbled up and you're like, was that my bar mitzvah or was that the one on Frasier?
No, I don't think they were that close. I did have a cameraman at my bar mitzvah, but I didn't have like four and a director. So I am able to separate them, but it is just a funny thing to think back on.
Oh yeah.
And
sure.
what was actually like a really sweet surprise at my actual bar mitzvah. There was always these like sort of, you know, videos, you know, like a video montage of photos and stuff like that. And the whole cast actually recorded bar mitzvah messages for me, like kind of like a surprise. I had no idea that they did that. So that was kind of a sweet, you know, little.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Did you guys, well, I mean, I guess it depends on, I mean, the show was on for so long, 11 years.
Yeah.
Were there ever like, you know, cast hangouts off set?
They would do, Kelsey would always do sort of like a Halloween party. They would do holiday parties. So they would do like a fun Halloween party and everyone would really dress up and, you know, just holiday parties. And if there was other hangouts than that, I just wasn't privy to them.
Of my favorite episodes of Frasier, or one of them, involves a Halloween party where everyone dresses up as their favorite literary character.
Yeah,
I know you were not in that episode, but yeah. Of any Halloween parties, also Halloween is my favorite holiday,
really?
Which I get a lot of hate for because how dare I not be a huge, you know. So by the way, I am Jewish on my mom's side and Catholic on my dad's. And I'll be fully honest. I'm not a huge Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah gal because I think it's way more fun to dress up on Halloween. And also, I don't know if you ever spent a lot of time in New York, but I love the Halloween parade here. I think everyone is at their absolute friendliest when they are in costume. And it's like you can talk to anyone on the street because they have a costume on and it is just wonderful.
I will agree with you there. I lived in New York for a couple years and Halloween in New York definitely trumps any other Halloween in any other city. And I will definitely give you that.
So,
but you could still dress up on all any of these other holidays. You know that, right? You can go in full costume to Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything you want to.
I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of reaction I would get if I dressed up as, say, you know, Michael Myers on, you know, Christmas Eve.
I like it. And then you carve the turkey. No, we're on to something here. That's a good one. You can do it.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So I'll be Michael Myers, and
send
then I'll
send me the photo of Thanksgiving dinner with you as Michael Myers. It's gonna be a huge hit.
This sounds great. Okay. The reason I brought up Halloween is because I am a Halloween head. Who committed the most in these? Even if it was just one Kelsey Grammer Halloween party, who of the cast?
I'll never forget thinking how hilarious it was as a kid. Every year they would choose a different crew member to dress up as, like, so the main cast would fully commit to dressing like the script supervisor or the second AD, and it was, I mean, like, they all fully committed when they all showed up in like a purple dress as the script supervisor, because she always wore purple, and they had the wigs. I mean, it was awesome. I thought that, for me as a kid, I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that the Halloween spirit was alive.
For you, that was pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, okay. That's good. That's good gossip.
Good intel.
Good friendly, nice stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have, I mean, this could be juicy. I don't know. So I think by now, or maybe you knew, that Moose, Eddie number one, as I read in many different publications, that Moose, at the height of Frasier popularity, was receiving more fan mail than any human cast member. So I am very curious, and I've heard different things about his mood, about, you know, how he acted on set. What was your relationship with Moose? How was he on set?
Okay, so there were two dogs.
Yes.
Moose and his son.
Enzo. Of course Enzo, I knew that.
So funny enough, I think I related a lot to the dog because.
Moose or Enzo? Or both?
Both. For me, like, it was a fun thing because I was the kid on set and I had a wrangler myself. My mom had to be there. You know, I had to have a chaperone. And then the dog had its amazing trainer, Matilde.
Yes.
And she was so awesome. She would always let me walk the dogs. It was just such a fun interaction for me. It was like a safe zone. If I was, you know, if I needed to get away, there was like, you know, as a kid, you just want to get away and hang out with some animals. She always had a bunch of animals that she was training. So there was like three or four dogs at any given time. So I was aware that the Jack Russell Terriers, they were kind of jealous of each other. Mm. So they couldn't be in the same room at the same time. That was the only time that, you know, it would really like, oh, wow, there's like tension there. But
wow.
Yeah, and then they replaced Moose when he was getting a little bit older with Enzo,
right.
And they both sometimes, the funny times during the live tapings would be, they both sometimes would have their like prima donna moments, you know, they would either do the trick or they wouldn't, but it was actually a perfect sense of relief for the audience, you know, it was like the perfect person breaking so we could have a little break and laugh about it, was that we were waiting on the dog. And there was a few times that it got frustrating, but I'm still in awe of how incredible the dogs were. Like, I look back at some of like the tricks that they had them do, and it was like quite incredible.
That's lovely to hear. Because, you know, I had heard, I don't know if you heard in the press that, you know, Kelsey had mentioned perhaps Moose could be a bit temperamental. And I was curious if you had had any experiences like that.
Yeah, I think animals can be frustrating at times, but like it's mostly the writers coming up with ideas, you know, like the Moose, Eddie, the dog Eddie, drove a lot of storyline too. It was like the butt into a lot of jokes. So there was a lot weighing on it. And, you know, it just it happens. It's like any sort of like rehearsal process if they can't get it right away. But I don't think it was ever, at least in my experience, it was never too crazy. It was just something fun to have. I think as a kid, you just love seeing a dog who can do tricks, or any animal that can, like, you know, be trained to do something awesome like that. It was a lot of fun.
Unrelated. I mean, I haven't really been around a celebrity dog before.
Yes.
And I would consider both of those dogs, but probably more notably Moose, just because he was on for longer. And
yeah.
I have been to the cat circus in New Orleans. It's called Acro Cats.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. So that is really my only experience around trained animals. And it was.
But did you know Beethoven, the movie, and like there's
oh,
just
sure.
Some,
yeah.
Yeah. The culture of like famous animals was always something cool.
It's
and cool. I'll tell you, the other dog that she trained, which I got to meet a lot, which I always loved. Remember the movie As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson?
Yes, I do.
And you know how the dog like would walk over, like he was like Jack Nicholson in the movie was like super superstitious about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he would walk on a crack in the cement or anything like that. And the dog was doing it as well.
Yeah.
She trained that dog as well. And I asked, how did you get him to do it? And it was like a little like green screen line, and they would just put little food. So he would just like walk over things. I thought it was really, my mind was blown. Wow. I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
I can only hope to make as much money as a celebrity dog one day. I mean, I think that's,
well. Yeah,
that's
no,
really one of my big goals
millions.
In life.
Trillions.
So I'm curious, as you have heard from other people, and it is true that Frasier is a really great show to watch before bed. It's very relaxing. Everyone's talking at a, you know, no one's really shouting except perhaps comically.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, do you ever watch Frasier just for fun? Or is it just like weird for you?
it's not weird. I'm always so impressed with the writing anytime I do catch an episode again. Like if it's on or if it's on TV and I got nothing else to watch, I definitely will like see what the episode is and just appreciate the writing, because I think it was such a really a timeless comedy, which, you know, why wouldn't I appreciate it more now being in the craft still? And sometimes, like I said, yeah, my wife falls asleep to Frasier. So as of recently, like I sometimes, you know, tune into the episodes again. And yeah, it's not weird for me at all. It's just kind of cool to say that I've been a part of it.
Ah, I'm so glad to hear that. So the fans will be glad to hear that as well. They all send their love, by the way. But truly, because I have the fan questions. But before we get there, as I'm sure you have read, as we all have, that there has been talks of a reboot, of a revival.
Yes.
What are you allowed to say? What do you know?
I can say right now, live here on the podcast, I don't know much. I don't know much of anything. I know that there are a lot of people are reaching out to see if I know anything. And I think I know just as much as, you know, the internet is saying, and I have no official word from anybody, but I have been curious, and I've been very excited about the idea. I'd be honored to obviously reprise the role if it comes to fruition. I just think it's a I think it's a fun tidbit. I think it really says how much the show holds up still.
Sure.
Because you know, I think we've said it enough. It really is timeless. So I would be just as excited to see a different version or a Frasier reboot, but I don't have any official word on anything. And again, there are a lot of things sort of happening and people, you know, reaching out in different ways, asking if I've heard anything. But other than hearing the little tidbits that, you know, Kelsey drops every now and then, and sort of just like seeing what the potential ideas are, I'm just as excited. It seems like a really cool opportunity. And the only thing I could say is that I would be honored to, you know, reprise the role if it came to fruition.
Okay, Kelsey, if you're listening, your son is interested. Okay, so
it was really cool. Actually, I got to reunite with Kelsey on the show The Last Tycoon like a year and a half, like 2 years ago on Amazon.
Really?
A lot of the guys from Mad Men, Scott Hornbacher, who was one of the creators, moved onto that show on Amazon. and they brought me on to do a part on there, and it took place in the 1930s. And all of my, I didn't even really realize it when I went in to read for it, but all of my scene work was with Kelsey.
Oh, wow.
It was just opposite Kelsey for the whole episode. So when I got it, all these people, the casting directors and the producers were all like, oh my God, you guys get to reunite. And I had this moment of, like, I wasn't nervous, but I was just like, what a crazy opportunity to reunite with someone. I think like something like 13 years, you know, 10 years later or yeah. something like that. And we get to the table read and Kelsey gives me this huge hug. And it was truly like reuniting with a family member. It was a very surreal experience. And we were catching up about each other's families, and aww. We got to work together for like a full week again. And, you know, that was one of the best takeaways of like my career coming full circle for me. It was really something awesome, because when you grow up with somebody as a kid, a guy who's playing your dad, you naturally look up to them. You know, mm-hmm. and he also was the star of the show, you know, right. his name was on the show. So you sort of like put them in this high regard, and it was always this very comfortable relationship as a kid. You know, mm-hmm. I was a kid, and then to be able to sort of reconnect as adults, it was really awesome. I felt really lucky to sort of have that. So that was a really cool thing. And then now all this sort of like reboot talk sort of came out not that long after, and it was just such a funny thing that something could potentially happen, you know.
Yeah, really, it sounds like when you reunite, it's just like old times. Chemistry's yeah. all there.
Yeah, so it was very different characters, and it was a real, it was, you know, it took place in the 1930s and, you know, old Hollywood sort of backstory. But it was this definite sense of there was a comfort zone sort of going toe-to-toe with each other in the scene work. It was not uncharted territory, and it really felt like I was catching up with a distant family member rather than anything else. So I more than anything, I just feel really lucky that I got to have that experience again.
That sounds lovely. I'm curious, as we are talking about the reboot, what would you like to see happen to Frederick Crane? Because I don't think we ever know, you know, he's a kid.
Yeah.
We don't know what profession he goes into, where he might move. We know he goes through a goth phase.
Yeah, I think that's the last time we saw him, which is still funny to me that we were in full goth makeup. And I didn't hate it at the time, you know, going goth, but it definitely was a different. It was different for Trevor, let's say, like going, sure. you know, like a rebellious phase. I never like sort of like, and we really went for it. I mean, we dyed the hair and the makeup and everything. So that part of it was a lot of fun, but it was just such a funny, it was the most different sort of Frederick I ever played. And I think I was like 16 at the time. So I was, you know, I had some ownership of like the character in a sense, like, you know, it was fun to like see him go through that sort of phase in his life. So where would I like to see Frederick? I don't know. I like this idea of, you know, I don't mind if he like followed into his parents' footsteps of, you know, a PhD in something, you know, another, you know, a doctor world, or he just totally, you know, veered left and, you know, went a whole different direction and looked at life a whole different way. And they have to figure out a way to relate to each other again. On a father and son level in a sure. sort of more of adult relationship.
I was trying to think of what profession would be like the opposite of, you know, like a therapist.
I don't know what that is. I like the idea of like sort of mirroring the relationship that Frasier had with Martin.
Sure.
You know, they couldn't be any more different. But like we've set up that Frederick is pretty smart. You know, we've set up that he's a smart kid. You know, uh-huh. he wins the spelling bee and he's, you know, advanced for his age and, you know, sort of like all the sort of schooling. So it would be sort of rebelling against that and sort of just wanting to not really care about, you know, the sort of accolades that, you know, that Frasier or Lilith sort of set up. But I do like that there's this polar opposite relationship with Martin and Frasier. but they are so similar at the same time. You know, they really know how to like look at the world through a similar lens, even though they do something so differently.
All right, here's my only, because
I don't even know if I answered the question at all. I have no idea. I just trust that the writing, you know, that the writers are so good and that these characters are so like, there's such a strong foundation that, there's no bad direction that could go in.
I've come up with a million ideas, some out loud and some just in my head, for what happens between Frasier and Freddie.
Yeah.
So right now, bravely, I tell you what has just popped into my head, which is you do try and take after your father. And mm-hmm. I was trying to think, what is the updated version of, I mean, radio? Yes, it's still out there. But, you know, podcasts are too. So I was
trying to picture. We're doing a podcast now. Yeah.
That's true. Do Frederick and Frasier host a podcast together? Do they both? Does Frasier go into the same profession and they have competing podcasts? Mm-hmm. I don't know. These are all things that I'm sure being considered in the writer's room if there is one going on right now.
Yes. I like the idea. I also came up like in my head, like I've thought about it once in a while. I'm just remembering now, like I thought about this idea before, like where maybe Frederick was, you know, engaged and things were looking up, but somehow the relationship ended and he needed to just get away. So he decided to move back in with, you know, his dad.
Oh.
And relied on, you know, that sort of like following instincts, and they're both out there dating again, you know, and what is that? What do those paths look like? You know, like,
sure.
You know, where the hijinks come in with that? Like, do they, you know, share a house and still date at the same time? That's a funny, I always thought that was sort of like a funny idea.
All right. So we've got, there's something that I don't actually know if that's a possibility, but that idea, it's in the air. And again, I assume Kelsey Grammer is listening.
Definitely.
Before we move on to fan questions, I am, of course, or we all are, society is constantly obsessed with child actors and their downfall. And in your case, sounds like you're doing well. Have never heard any sort of, Trevor seen smoking at, you know, in the club at 15.
Oh, you're not Googling the right stuff. No.
So I'm curious, especially because, you know, you were a child actor, now you're an adult actor. Were there any surreal parties you were at as a kid where you were, you know, hanging out, playing ping pong? I'll just throw some example names in with, your Sabrina the Teenage Witches or your, who else? Lizzie McGuire's. Were there ever any cool child actor party get-togethers?
There was a charity. This is not as cool, I'm sure. You don't want to start the cool thing with the charity, but charity is pretty cool. There was this child actor charity that I was pretty heavily involved with called Kids with a Cause mm-hmm. at the time. And Hillary Duff was a part of it at the time, and Frankie Muniz. And, you know, you had all these people. It was mostly like TV kid actors. I think like we had like movie kids that were doing movies as well. And like, we would do these big events, I would say like 3 or 4 times a year. And we would, you know, find different organizations that we could help give back to and sort of shine a light on. So that, and we wound up having like some pretty big parties that would raise a lot of money for charity. So like, that was kind of cool. You know, that there was a lot of like child actor stuff going on there. But it was for a great cause. So I couldn't say anything bad about it. It was always a fun experience.
No, I wasn't looking for anything bad. I just, for some reason, was picturing what those conversations look like. You know, you, Frankie Muniz, Hillary Duff.
Just looking at our portfolios.
Sure.
And, you know, sizing up resumes and, you know, just no.
Right, trading business cards.
You know, it is a hard balance sometimes when, like, kids are working in the profession, you know, in TV and movies, to sort of find that time to still be kids. And I have to give credit to my parents. My sister was also an actor growing up, and it all sort of stemmed from us. We stayed in school, and we sort of always, we turned down a lot of jobs too, if it meant that we wanted to go on a school trip, or we just found this perfect balance of still being able to be a kid, but also let us make our own decisions if we wanted to go do a job or not. And I'm, you know, it's really great that I'm still working now, that it's a profession that I'm still really passionate about. And I've been really lucky to get these jobs that sort of keep me in it and allow me to analyze if it was something that I want to keep doing. And now I get the opportunity to work with other child actors, and I know right away whether they're having a good time because I had that experience. So if any parents are listening that want to get their kids into acting, or any child actors are listening, I think the most important thing that I always tell people is that you have to balance it with fun as well, and make sure that they want to still be kids, kids that along with adults. That's the that's the best advice I have. As long as you get along with adults and you get to enjoy yourself being a kid around adults, that's the secret sauce right there.
Sure. I mean, I think it's also interesting that I think things are just different now with social media, but I always get the sense, I mean, I myself am, no, I was never a child actor, but this, I think there's this obsession with staying relevant. And I think it's so interesting, especially when you're young, you know, that often, quote unquote, being relevant, sometimes it involves, like, you know, hearing about, you know, an actor's personal life or all.
And it's hard right now. The lines are very blurred with, like, social media. Like a character you play on TV and the social media of it all, it's like there's a lot of blurred lines, more so than it used to be. And I feel really lucky that I got to be in the business from an early age and see sort of like how it can go, that I'm very cautious about certain things. I'm not chasing anything.
Sure.
But, you know, I also got really lucky with the jobs that I did. You know, I was being on Frasier, you're around the right people. Mm. You know, you get to have a good example because they were a number one show and they were all a really great group of people to work with. I didn't realize at the time how good I had it, you know, until you go into other sets and you see, you know, dysfunction in other ways. But I think it is a job by job sort of, you have to take it one job at a time sort of thing. I don't know if I'm answering these questions good. You could edit this.
You are answering these.
Actor PSA, these are, however you
want. Oh no, I could talk about child acting and I also, I think it's of course always refreshing to talk to somebody who, you know, has this much insight and seemingly sort of grew into a situation that did not put them seemingly in a compromising position
I feel really lucky, and I really do have to thank my mom for being so, you know, she was smart with, you know, when to step in. And that's such a big part of the child acting thing, is like the parent side of things, and, you know, whoever is sort of like being your guardian at the time, you have to find that perfect balance of letting the kids be the kids, but also looking out for their best interests. And I just always had a good example. So I feel really lucky that I'm still acting. And it's still something I'm able to call a career, and I've been doing it now 26 years, which is just crazy to say. So that's a lot of fun.
A lot of people don't work that many years, especially in this economy. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I am curious, I swear, but one more, I just keep thinking of things before fan questions.
Please. Yeah.
Was there a gap of time between your time on Frasier and what came next? Did you take a break at all before moving on to the next project?
Never like took like an official break. It did. It kept me relevant in the child actor sort of circuit. But like the thing about Frasier is that it was such a mature show that it wasn't I wasn't going to go from, you know, the adult comedy onto like a Disney Channel thing. It just read very differently.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So the comedy that I was, the writing that I was privy to, it sort of put me in this different category of, you know, the material that I understood. And it wasn't on purpose. It just like I was becoming more mature than what I was reading for. So I don't think there was like a natural gap of what the job was, but I fell into a very specific category of like, I couldn't just jump into like you know, the 12-year-old, you know, like the more like Disney or Nickelodeon thing, because I wasn't reading that way. It
right.
was more of
your Zack and Cody's.
Yeah. Not that there was anything wrong with that. It never lined up that way. So I don't know what the next gap was. I don't know what the next job was. I was always working while on Frasier. I was doing other jobs that wasn't tied to it for every episode. So I just kept plugging away, I think, at like other TV episodes of stuff like that. I always loved TV. It was a really, that was my sweet spot there.
I too love TV. So, all right. I've got some great, I had to really whittle these down. Number one, before I even say these, ask you some of these questions, I said, this is my exact post I wrote in this Frasier group. I wrote, deep breaths. I am interviewing Trevor Einhorn next week. What are your questions? And a lot of the comments were just, tell him we love him. So aww. Just so you know, you have some adoring fans.
That's really sweet.
Yes, I'm sure they'll be very excited to hear you say that. Okay, so here's a question from Greg Chambliss. Do you keep in touch with the remaining cast members? Here's how when I hear that question, I think, you know, are you in a WhatsApp group? You guys ever Facebook message? Christmas cards?
The short answer for me is no. The age gap for me, I think they do keep in touch, obviously, because they just work together for so long. And they're that. But the age gap, there isn't a group chat that I'm a part of. But running into anyone from the show, writers, producers, or cast members, like when I ran into Kelsey, there is that instant connection. So
lovely.
There isn't anything awkward running into anybody. And, you know, more often than not, if you're still working in this business, you're going to run into someone that you used to work with. So I feel really lucky about that. But you know what? Maybe today I'm going to start a WhatsApp group and I'm sure they'll all join right away.
Start the WhatsApp group. Send them a link to the pod.
Send them the link.
Send them a link. Okay. I think you probably already answered this, but Piles Crane, that's his Instagram handle. Piles Crane, were you really going through a goth phase or was it just written in the show? Sounds like you didn't.
Yeah, no, it was just written in the show. And I was not going through a goth phase, but it was, there is something fun about being forced to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
You know, like if you're gonna goth, like
go all out. Goth.
Yeah, so that was fun. And it was, yeah, and I, like, what was really interesting is that at the time, you were able to, like, invite people to the live taping. You know, that was, like, a big thing for us. We got to invite, like, you know, family members or whatever. And I invited my freshman English teacher.
Oh.
She was, like, a fan, and I didn't tell her anything about the episode. And so, like, she showed up, and it was, like, such a huge reveal for her that I was in full goth makeup, too. So that was a lot of fun.
Shout out
to Lauren Newman, if she's listening to the podcast, my freshman high school English teacher.
Hello, Professor Newman. I'm sure she's also listening. This young lady just needs to hear it as well as a few other people's. But Jess asks, are you single and willing to relocate to London? Heart emoji.
Willing to that's the second part of the question. I am not single. I'm married to my lovely wife, but I do think that we would be open to relocating to London. I don't know if that helps at any point. You can't rule anything out, so maybe the three of us all grab a coffee at some point.
All right, Jess. Okay, you got well that hey that was I'm sure she'd just be happy to meet you too. So,
okay. Hi, Jess.
Okay. Ben asks, who would you rather have as your dad in real life, Frasier Crane or Niles Crane?
Whoa.
I know.
What a thinker.
Yeah.
That is a great question. I'm actually stopped in my tracks there. Who would I have if I could choose?
Touche, Ben.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I know
and
my answer,
saying,
but I don't want to answer for you.
Are we saying we're asking who would Trevor have as his dad?
Absolutely, yes. And then asking not of the actors, but of their characters.
Yeah. I think I stick with Frasier. For me.
Okay.
I like having Niles as an uncle. I think he's a perfect uncle.
I saw that he was a great uncle, though I will be honest, I do feel as if I, as just me, would pick Niles Crane. Because I think, as yeah. Niles lives in the shadow of his brother, I don't want to live in the shadow of my father.
And ooh, I feel, that's good.
But that's just me. And as we know, who knows where this reboot is going to take Freddie and Frasier. For all we know, they're going to be dating, you know, going on double dates, yeah. hosting a Dr. Phil type show together. And maybe they just won't even be competing. They'll be working side by side.
I think we just wrote it. I think you got it there. That's it.
Melinda asks.
It's called Side by Side.
It's called Side by Side. Perfect.
Instead of Frasier.
All right, let's trademark it. Melinda asks, which actors were most like their characters IRL?
Oh, IRL in real life, correct?
Correct.
Okay, which actors were most like their characters? I'm going to sort of say I think a lot of them brought certain parts of themselves to the characters. And I think that's why it felt why the comedy worked so much. I think they were all very different because, like, the beautiful part about Frasier is, like, all of their insecurities sort of just are thrown out there on the table and we get to, like, laugh at it, you know, in the right way. But I do think that there is a little part of everybody that's themselves, but they're so different. Like, anytime that you would break from doing the scene, it was never like you always saw them as their person, you know, David or Kelsey or
sure.
you know, you just never got it mixed up. So I just think that there was a lot that they were able to pick from their real lives that they added to enhance their characters. I can't say who's the most like.
I
don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I think probably Martin, just because he has such a great grandfather instincts, you know, he really was sort of loving in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be my answer.
Lovely. Yeah. I think it's still to this day, still jarring for me when I hear Kelsey Grammer just talking like a regular person. That was like
yeah.
the biggest thing that always threw me off when just, yeah, hearing him not as Frasier was like that sort of subtle-ish yet, you know, dramatic transatlantic British thing that was going on.
It is such a funny character choice. Yeah, I love both voices. They both have such great voices.
They do.
Frasier and Kelsey, just as characters.
Yeah. Steve asks, did you keep anything from the set?
Whoa. No, but I'm thinking, oh, you know what? Sometimes, wardrobe, like, because I was a growing boy that like in between episodes, I wouldn't fit into the same outfit that I had before. Sometimes I got to keep some of the wardrobe. That was a
nice.
Big plus. Yeah. I had sweaters and jackets and sneakers and stuff that I got to take home. So that was fun.
See,
and then there was like a big Frasier jacket that they would do every year that they did that I got. That was kind of cool.
There was a Frasier jacket? Like it's
yeah, so it was like this like leather sort of like baseball, you know, like a Letterman jacket that like had like sort of the logo on it. And then they etched my name into it. So that was nice.
I guarantee you if those jackets ever floated onto the internet, they would.
I just found mine. Literally, I just found mine like 2 days ago.
Oh my
which
God.
Which is why I mentioned it. I don't know why or how I found it, but it's in a nice sort of case right now. And to a lucky fan in this great competition game, you get, I don't know. I have no game. I shouldn't offer this. I don't have a
that
game.
That baby would sell on the Frasier yeah. black market. Not that that's a thing, but.
All right. We'll get it going. I'll get the WhatsApp group with the whole cast. I say, guys, don't need a jacket. This is big. This is it. We don't need a reboot. We just need the jackets.
Sell the jackets. Yeah, I would buy one. So, okay. Oh, Bridget. Bridget asks, now, it's interesting that she refers to your character as and the different episodes as phases, but she asked, what was your favorite phase of Freddy's character? Academic boy, typical teen gamer boy, or goth boy?
Oh, I guess there are phases.
I guess so.
Like, like life. What were them again? Can I hear the phases one more
time? I love the way she described them. Okay, academic boy, typical teen gamer boy, or goth boy.
Oh man, I don't ever want to say typical teen gamer boy. But I do like that time. I do like the mischievous. Like before he was rebelling as a goth, he was rebelling in this very, Frederick was rebelling in this very fun way.
Yeah, for the mini bike.
Getting his parents back together and stuff like that. It's sort of like this fun, mischievous, like I can get one over on my parents kind of thing. I think I go typical teen gamer boy.
I also go typical teen gamer boy, especially because, you know, when poor Freddie, I believe in your first appearance, you know, getting hit in the head with a refrigerator, having allergic reactions. So how nice to see, you know, the wheels working in your head, you know, showing the manipulative side that you've probably gotten from both parents. I think it's great.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. That's what that Thanksgiving episode, getting beaten up, was such a fun And I'm serious. It was so much fun. Like there was like if you're going to jump onto a show, you get like bloody nose, black eye, hives, gum in hair. It was all this funny thing. And then there was like it didn't wind up making it, but we were going to do a tag where it's like I was walking in with crutches.
Oh,
we wound up pulling that the night of. But I remember rewatching that episode and I think the funniest part of that episode, and it's Thanksgiving coming up, so I was like thinking about it, is when Niles is cooking the turkey and they go in to grab, when Lilith and Frasier grab the turkey out of the oven to bring to the Grandmaster's house. And Niles hears the bell go off of the oven and he thinks, okay, turkey's done. And he opens the oven and there's no turkey there. And he just... Like, did it possibly fly away? A cooked bird possibly fly away? I just thought it was the funniest thing. I remember rewatching it, just like not grasping it so much as a kid as I do now. And I just thought it was hilarious.
That was one of the sort of Niles's moments, or well, more like David Hyde Pierce moments, where there was no dialogue. Similarly reminds me to an episode, what was it, Three Valentines, where he's getting ready for a date. And almost everything he's doing is just physical and like facial acting. And he's so good at it.
So good at that. Yeah, and I just love being able to rewatch it and be a fan, you know, be a fan now. Like, you're a fan at the time, but you're also, like, as a kid, you're just trying to memorize all your lines and get everything right. But being able to rewatch it now and just be such a fan of the show, really cool experience, too.
Okay, back to...
questions, fan questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this has to actually do with your phase as as Freddie's phase as a typical teen gamer boy.
Typical.
This question came up more than once, but Kelly asks, when Niles and Freddie were playing video games, were you as actors actually playing video games?
Great question. Great question. Because I, when reading it, originally I remember being excited, like, oh, wonder what game we're gonna play, you know, this is fun, I like video games, I wonder what game we're gonna play. But no, the way they did it, the TV movie magic, was they just had sort of the remote control and it was a lighting effect. So there was a box with like a light in it to reflect as if there was a game playing, and even the sound effects that were in the episode were not the sound effects that we had at night. I don't forget, like during the taping, I don't remember what the actual sound effects were, but I do know that there was a lot of rehearsal process into getting that timing right and then getting of the lighting, because it was sort of, if I remember correctly, the gag was that he would always, Niles was playing, he would always die, he would always lose in the game. So that was a fun little, that was a fun little secret for me too. Like, oh, video game acting. This is a challenge. I like
it. It's a genre, video game acting.
Yeah, I put it on the resume instantly.
I think it's great. I mean, I've never video game acted, but I will say what I found to be very uncomfortable to pretend to do without any like music is dancing. Like, I was in an extra for like a party scene in something a long time ago, and it was the first time that I realized that there's no music because there's other people actually acting
words,
right? And it is so uncomfortable, in my opinion.
Did they play any music to let you guys hear a beat and then cut it off? That's usually how it's tried to, like, they'll set a tempo with a song and then just cut it out so you can keep that same tempo. Or were you guys just like, you know what, just go for it and dance, and if everyone's doing a different one, who cares?
It was the second one. It's too bad you weren't there. Listen, this was a low budget film. I think there's, it's on IMDb somewhere. Okay. Not even, I couldn't even tell you the name.
Yeah, we don't need to relive it. I understand.
Yeah, I've mostly blocked it out. Caitlin asks, any on-set crushes she uses as an example, Jane or Perry?
I think no other than like a kid, you know, having a crush on, you know, like I think the Frederick Daphne thing was just like a cute thing. And in my head, it's like, yeah, why not? Very pretty woman to be working with. So like, it wasn't any more serious than that, but I definitely, you know, I crushed a schoolboy crush, you could say, on both women.
Sure. And, you know, for the character.
For the character purposes only. Right. For the character. They were great. They were great.
Do you have a favorite memory from being on set? Asks Leanne Turner.
Okay. I remember, so something that, a little behind the scenes of something that I remember that I still think was really cool. So when you're rehearsing, for anyone who might not know, when you're rehearsing the scenes, everyone gets a little tape mark of where they're supposed to stand. So like before you tape it, they tape out like an actual physical tape where you're supposed to stand as like a mark. And what I found out on Cheers that they carried over into Frasier was every mark that was used, every tape mark was turned into a giant ball. Uh-huh. And over 11 years, they had every tape mark into a huge ball. Uh-huh. And they did the same thing on Frasier. They kept these giant tape, masking tape balls. Uh-huh. And again, as a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing. It was like a big Indiana Jones size boulder with tape marks, and I was a part of it. So that was a really cool sort of moment for me. And I think just getting the chance to do all, just in general, just getting the chance to do all the fun, wacky stuff, like, and have my experience acting on TV be on a show like Frasier was just sort of, that's the overall fun moment for me. There was never anything that didn't seem right or professional, like getting to eat hot dogs in a camping episode. I was like, I'm getting paid to eat hot dogs in a scene? This is awesome, you know? So that's a fun moment too.
Well, that's lovely. Eating hot dogs on set sounds like a fun moment. And I mean, I haven't been paid for that yet, so, you know. Again, adding my list to be as wealthy as a celebrity dog and get paid.
I'm just realizing now, are those the lame favorite moments? I think I just said I enjoyed looking at a big ball of tape and eating hot dogs in a scene on set. I know that there's some other favorite moments of mine, but I do think the whole experience was a favorite moment. We'll end with that. That's a nicer answer.
I think that's lovely, but I like that you gave specifics other than saying everything was wonderful. So, which it sounds like it was, but you enjoyed the tape ball and the hot dogs.
Yeah, I thought that as a kid, I really enjoyed that little bit.
I'm glad to hear that. So somebody actually had a non-Frasier question and had a basketball question.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So Tessa Lionheart, she had a bunch of questions about basketball, so I'm going to narrow it down this question, which was, were Trey Parker and Matt Stone as fun to work with as it looks like?
Yes, 100%. They were really very funny and constantly pulling pranks, and also really awesome scene partners, too.
That was a wild scene where they almost kill you.
Sometimes
they do
being
kill
the kid on set, you know, it's like nerve wracking, but like, I've been really lucky that everyone has always been so welcoming and making me feel comfortable. So I have nothing but good experiences about Trey and Matt. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that was, I just looked up I definitely saw basketball a long time ago. And then today, the first one that comes up with you is when they keep stepping on all the machines and
In the hospital scene.
That was wild. Yeah. That was insane. So those are all the Frasier fan questions for now. But before we wrap up, I would love to just talk a little bit about what you're currently doing, which is, I believe you are on The Magicians, correct?
Yeah, we just, so The Magicians is, it's based off of the novels by Lev Grossman, and we just finished our fifth season, a week ago, finished filming our fifth season, and it's on Sci-Fi. It should be airing again in January, but yeah, this is a show. I play the role of Josh Oberman from the books, who's this sort of fun-loving, stoner chef, party guy, typical teen gamer guy. it's a really fun show, and it's rare territory now to be able to be part of something on a fifth season.
Yeah.
And just sort of, coming from the world of TV that I did as a kid, I'm still very excited about getting the opportunity to be on a show that is sort of successful and gets to sort of tell these stories. It's a fun show. It's sort of like Harry Potter, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And I'm excited for the fans to see the new season. We put a lot of work into it, so it should be a fun one.
Yeah, I was looking up scenes, and the first one that came up with Josh Hoberman was called The High King. And it was this whole crazy scene where you're a king and you're smoking out of a bong. And I was Trevor's got range. This is no Frederick Crane.
It's not. No, it definitely takes a different turn, but similar to Martin getting high on an accidental pop brownie. It's a very similar journey.
Sure.
The show is a very fun over-the-top show, but we're based off of a really great book series by the same name, The Magicians. So I encourage people to check it out. We have a pretty strong fan base, and it's been a ton of fun being able to be on that show.
Wonderful. But I want to thank you so much for coming on. You were so fun, and it's so great that honestly, there isn't even a single person I have as an example for this, but I'll just say I do feel that sometimes I just feel like some people, some actors are like kind of don't want to talk about things from the past sometimes, old shows. And I feel like you are extremely chill in that you're like, I'm an open book. Here's what I did in the past. Here's what I'm currently doing now. And and I feel like there was nothing off limits. So
I feel really lucky to be associated with the show. I mean, it's sort of that quality, and I just feel really lucky. It's a timeless piece of history. No matter what happens, either reboot or not, I feel very lucky to still be associated with Frederick and Frasier. It's just a really cool thing I get to take with me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Trevor Einhorn, for being here. And until next time. Good night, Seattle.
Tune in for an all-new episode of I'm Listening on December 24th with writer Meredith Dawson.